Welcome into another edition of World Soccer Talk Radio here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Thanks, as always, for subscribing to us on iTunes, TuneIn, and Stitcher. And always check us out at worldsoccertalk.com on Twitter, at World Soccer Talk. My name is Nate Abarea. Find me on Twitter and send me all your love mail and, of course, your Twitter abuse at NateWST. Jason Davis, writer for ESPN FC and, of course, the host of Soccer Morning, is going to be joining us in this edition of the program. Cannot wait to get a little background on Soccer Morning, the popular soccer program, and learn how that show really got started and the roots in the soccer world for Jason Davis and how that show has grown so much in recent years. Got to start the show with a shout out to Redding, California's own. I do this show from the heart of Northern California, try to get down to the Bay Area and be with the folks down at Byline as much as possible. But I'm up here in Redding, California, and that is the hometown of one Megan Rapinoe, Redding's finest. And Redding was buzzing yesterday. The good folks, my good friends over at Shameless O'Leary's Irish Pub, Rich Bourne, Kenny Breedlove, a host of others, hosting a fantastic USA-Australia Women's World Cup viewing party. Big banners inside the pub saying, cheer on the USA and Redding's own Megan Rapinoe. And what does gangster rap Megan Rapinoe do yesterday? She scores a brace and the USA win 3-1 in their World Cup opener. It was absolutely fantastic. And I just want to say something on a serious note about women's soccer. All of you folks out there who have this thing, that this need to bring up the fact that the women's game is so much slower than the men's game. You know what? Maybe. And therefore, tactically, it's approached way differently. It's a far more defensive game. It can oftentimes be a far more physical, cagey game. And so for Megan Rapinoe to play the type of soccer that she plays within the Women's World Cup landscape, it makes it all the more incredible. She is Joga Bonito up in Canada right now, scoring goals, beautiful passes, beautiful moves. Keep it up, Megan Rapinoe, making Northern California and making the city of Redding oh so proud. We love you, Megan. Jason Davis with us on the other side of this break. World Soccer Talk Radio, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Are you sick and tired of paying more than $100 a month for your TV bill? Well, if so, I've got the solution for you. It's called Fubo TV, and it's the best way to watch the greatest leagues from around the world. Fubo TV is a legal and affordable streaming service that delivers live and on-demand HD broadcasts of BN Sports, Goal TV, Benfica TV, and more. That means you can watch La Liga, Serie A, the Bundesliga, Ligue 1, Copa America, and more. With Fubo TV, the broadcast stream to your computer, smartphone, tablet, Roku, or Amazon Fire TV. Plus, Fubo TV works with Chromecast, so you can cast the games to your TV set. Best of all, Fubo TV is offering a 2-week free trial, so you can watch as much soccer as you like. Go to fubo.tv/radio and sign up today. And if you love what you see, a monthly subscription to Fubo TV is only $6.99 per month. So sign up at fubo.tv/radio right now. FUBO.TV/radio and start enjoying the best soccer from around the world at home, work, or on the go.
Soccer fans, I have a question for you. Which is the only soccer network in the United States that shows games from Ajax, PSV, Colo Colo, Benfica, Zenit, and other teams? The answer is NGSN, a brand new online sports network that offers live and on-demand games from seven different leagues from around the world for free, no strings attached. With your free 90-day trial, you can watch as many league games from the following countries as you like: Holland, Portugal, Russia, Chile, Bolivia, Ecuador, and Venezuela. NGSN is the only place you can watch Eredivisie games, featuring star players such as Memphis Depay, Andres Guardado, Aaron Johansson, and many more. Plus all of the games from those leagues that are available on your Windows PC or Mac, and your Apple iPhone or Android device. Commentaries are offered in English or Spanish, plus the games are in HD. Now, this is a completely new and legal way to watch soccer games in the United States. Try it, and I think you'll be impressed. All you have to do is go to freesoccertrial.com and sign up today for your free 90-day trial to NGSN. No credit card is required. You just sign up and go. Again, that's freesoccertrial.com. Cheers.
You make the decision to buy the home, then you're faced with what's next. What do we do?
We started at Realtor.com.
Realtor.com gave us a lot more current information.
Listings are pulled directly from the MLS every 15 minutes.
Once you've gone through all of that, the Realtor makes it happen.
We worked with the Realtor that really knew the area.
And he knew the market.
When you have someone who has the expertise, it makes it so much easier.
Realtor.com and Realtors. Together, we make home happen. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Nate Abarea back here with you on World Soccer Talk Radio, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, iTunes, TuneIn, and Stitcher. Check us out at worldsoccertalk.com and on Twitter at World Soccer Talk. Find me on Twitter at NateWST. Jason Davis, writer for ESPNFC, and of course, the host of Soccer Morning, is our guest in this edition of the show. Jason, how is the world treating you?
Not too bad, Nate. How are you?
I am doing mighty good, and the show, Soccer Morning, doing mighty well as well, and some big moves being made recently for Soccer Morning. Talk about how things are going with your show right now.
They're going pretty well. I mean, I guess we're, a month in at SiriusXM, doing a couple hours in the middle of the day over there, and going pretty well, and, you know, that's on top of maintaining a free podcasted version that we do, you know, a couple hours ahead of time. So 3 hours a day is, it seems like a lot, but, you know, it goes by quicker than you think.
Now, a little bit later in the show, I want to get into the art of podcasting and something that you have been all about for quite a long time. But let's actually go back specifically with Soccer Morning, and I'm really curious to hear how this thing got started, how the idea was originally conceived, and how it materialized into what it is now.
Well, as with so many great ideas, it was born out of necessity more than anything else. I got laid off. You know, I was working regular 9-to-5, you know, Joe Schmo kind of desk job, not enjoying it too much. I had sort of backed myself into a corner professionally, I'll say it in a nice way. And I eventually got laid off. This is April 2013. And, you know, I had been doing some, you know, I've been doing podcasting for a while, a couple of times a week or once a week for a couple of years before that. And, Trevor Hayward, my producer, the guy who runs Backheel and has been the guy behind NASN, which is now Backheel, he said to me, hey, why don't we try to do a daily show? And I said, well, I've always wanted to try that, but, you know, I don't know if it's going to make any money. I don't know if I'm going to be able to support my family, my child, et cetera, et cetera. I said, okay, how about this? We'll make a run at it. If it's successful, we can, you know, maybe crowdfund. Okay. If not, I'll, you know, I'm going to continue to look for a quote unquote real job. And, I pretty much stopped looking for a real job about a month in, I think. And at the time we were doing 2 hours a day, and, it was originally called American Soccer Morning, believe it or not. And I don't know that we were necessarily focused on only American topics, but we certainly wanted to highlight the Americanness of the perspective.
Well, Jason, how challenging was it in the beginning, you know, that time of getting it simply off the ground? And you talk about those first couple of months there, and you know, when did Soccer Morning kind of, you know, hit some big forks in the road? How close did it come to shutting down and becoming, yeah, you know, a failed operation? Because I know there were some speed bumps, yeah, along the way. Talk about the first few speed bumps for you with Soccer Morning.
You know, I was a little bit, there were speed bumps. You know, in the beginning, I think it was just the thrill of trying to put something together every day that got me by. You know, format-wise, we really didn't know what we were doing. We were just kind of throwing some stuff up there. You know, and I had sort of a built-in audience from what I had been doing before and from my writing and that kind of thing. And that certainly helped a lot. Like, it got us some attention. You know, and we did. We sort of crowdfunded the launch of the show, and a lot of people stepped up and were very nice and helped us get going. And for the first, I think for the first year or so, everything was pretty good. Within a couple of months of getting going, we signed up with Kick TV. They were expanding their programming at the time. They were looking into some different channels on YouTube rather than just their standard Kick TV channel, and they kind of created one for us called Kick TV Talk. Unfortunately, you know, they were limited in their in the resources that they had, and certainly in the manpower. And it was difficult for them to give us the kind of support that it needed. And I don't really, you know, I don't blame anybody at Kick TV. It's just kind of the way that things work. They took a shot, they gave us an opportunity, and it didn't really work out. So by the end of the year, that was the end of 2013, we didn't really know what was going to happen. We went into 2014 kind of still going back and forth with them as to whether or not they were going to re-sign us. They had ultimately decided not to. And 2014, I think we had decided what we ultimately wanted to do was try to keep it going, give it a shot. And that was another crowdfunding situation, only we did it as a one-off. We did I can't remember what the actual crowdfunding platform was, to be honest with you. But we did a one-off there, and that kept us going. It was good. I mean, I had reached a couple of different. I was very frustrated with crowdfunding to be honest with you, because I didn't want to do that. I felt even if it's kind of the way things are working now, and even if people want to make big budget movies, they're crowdfunding them. It did feel a little bit unfair to our audience to have to ask them a couple of different times to do that. But they stepped up at that point, and they got us through. They got us ultimately up to the World Cup in 2014. And we were getting ready to head into the World Cup, and that's when things kind of started to get shaky.
Now, I want to ask you about something here, and this is an art for musicians and actors just as much as sports commentators and soccer radio hosts. But the concept of being independent, quote unquote independent, at what point do you link up with the big record label? At what point do you go with the big company? And talk about that for you, where this was such a from the ground up project and the idea of how long can we stay independent? Are we still truly independent? When do we, go to the big company to get to the next level? Talk about that a little bit and what that's been like for you with Soccer Morning, Jason.
Well, I mean, that was always a consideration. I mean, we always wanted to stay completely, at least editorially independent. We knew that there was going to be a point where, in order to keep it going, the only people with the resources keep it going. We're not talking about fame and fortune here. We're talking about keeping mac and cheese on the table. I mean, just to keep going. Just to pay your gas bill and everything. We were never thinking that this is going to earn us a ton of money. We just wanted to do it, and we knew that was going to require somebody with some resources. Now, first it was Kick TV, and now at the time Kick TV, I wouldn't call them big by any stretch of the imagination, but Kick TV was, some of their funding came from Google, some of it they were actually connected, obviously to MLS, and some of those questions came up. They never exerted any editorial control over us. We never had any notes. I was very adamant about that. If we're going to have to, kowtow to somebody, we're not going to do the deal, or we're not going to be part of it. Now, that is tough, and, I think everybody who's ever sort of tried to make a career out of nothing and just kind of, whether you crack a microphone or start writing or make a YouTube video with your, your singer-songwriter act, you realize that at some point there's going to be some sort of kind of subconscious push on you. And it's not that, it's not like you're holding back or you're trying to keep everybody happy. But you sort of are aware that we're all in this thing together, or at least you have to be, you have to be part of polite society. You can't just go and blame everybody. I mean, that would be fun, and there are certain people who are big enough and powerful enough to get away with that, but most of us, we can't. We realize that we have to be You know, we have to be, even if we don't like somebody, you keep it to yourself, whatever. Now, if there's legitimate criticism to be levied, I want to be able to do that. And that was my main concern. So I think that is something that we thought about pretty much throughout. And it's still the truth now. I mean, I understand where the pressures are with some of the part of what I do. And some part of it, I don't have any pressures at all. I can just continue to do whatever I want without even thinking about it. But I also have to exist within a framework that is somebody going to give me an interview if I completely blame somebody unfairly? Now, if I'm asking questions in a journalistic manner, or I'm legitimately criticizing somebody for their actions or their behavior or their performance, then that shouldn't be held against me. So
we got to talk a little bit more on the other side of the break, Jason, about developing the following and finding your niche, and that's something that Soccer Morning has done quite well at. Jason Davis is our guest here on World Soccer Talk Radio. We're back after this on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Soccer fans, I have a question for you. Which is the only soccer network in the United States that shows games from Ajax, PSV, Colo-Colo, Benfica, Zenit, and other teams? The answer is NGSN, a brand new online sports network that offers live and on-demand games from 7 different leagues from around the world for free, no strings attached. With your free 90-day trial, you can watch as many league games from the following countries as you like: Holland, Portugal, Russia, Chile, Bolivia, Ecuador, and Venezuela. NGSN is the only place you can watch Eredivisie games, featuring star players such as Memphis Depay, Andres Guardado, Aaron Johansson, and many more. Plus all of the games from those leagues that are available on your Windows PC or Mac, and your Apple iPhone or Android device. Commentaries are offered in English or Spanish, plus the games are in HD. Now, this is a completely new and legal way to watch soccer games in the United States. Try it, and I think you'll be impressed. All you have to do is go to freesoccertrial.com and sign up today for your free 90-day trial to NGSN. No credit card is required. You just sign up and go. Again, that's freesoccertrial.com. Cheers.
Are you sick and tired of paying more than $100 a month for your TV bill? Well, if so, I've got the solution for you. It's called Fubo TV, and it's the best way to watch the greatest leagues from around the world. Fubo TV is a legal and affordable streaming service that delivers live and on-demand HD broadcasts of BN Sports, Goal TV, Benfica TV, and more. That means you can watch La Liga, Serie A, the Bundesliga, Ligue 1, Copa America, and more. With Fubo TV, the broadcast stream to your computer, smartphone, tablet, Roku, or Amazon Fire TV. Plus, Fubo TV works with Chromecast, so you can cast the games to your TV set. Best of all, Fubo TV is offering a 2-week free trial, so you can watch as much soccer as you like. Go to fubo.tv/radio and sign up today. And if you love what you see, a monthly subscription to Fubo TV is only $6.99 per month. So sign up at fubo.tv/radio right now. FUBO.TV/radio and start enjoying the best soccer from around the world at home, work, or on the go.
This is Shaquille O'Neal
and the Shaquettes
reminding you that anytime is a good time for the cooling, drying, freshening of Gold Bond powder spray, like after the gym
or a crowded elevator ride
or golf
or working with
hard day's work.
Like sports casting?
You said it, ladies. Stay cool with Gold Bond Powder Spray.
Stay cool with Gold Bond.
Nate Albarea back here with Jason Davis on World Soccer Talk Radio on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Jason Davis, the host of Soccer Morning and a writer for ESPN FC. Let's pick up right where we left off, Jason. We talked about finding your niche or finding your niche, I guess, if we want to be truly American about this whole thing. But that's one thing that I've really enjoyed watching shows grow, and in particular Soccer Morning. And you talk about the beginnings of this whole thing and coming up with the idea, and talk about how you found your crowd and found a very loyal following, and what that meant to the advancement of Soccer Morning as a show.
Well, it's obviously been huge to have people who are unequivocally supportive of what you do. And you know, I tend to think that I'm one of those people that don't really. It's hard for me to grasp that there are fans of me. I think there may be fans of what I do, or fans of the program, or fans of the presentation. And I think that's the key part of it. Well, what's one of the things that I try to keep in perspective is, you know, I want to deliver the product for these people, or the presentation for these people. I'm not necessarily like, oh, I'm just selling myself. Although that's certainly part of it. And you know this, that personality is a major part of any podcast or radio presentation. As for finding those people, I don't know, to be honest with you. I started a blog in 2008, and I built an audience there, and then I started a podcast, and some of those people came with me and added on a few more, and then, you know, the podcast grew and went to a different distribution level, and that grew the audience, and it's just been this sort of, you know, I don't know, it's just been this sort of slow build and putting layers on top of layers, and with each successive opportunity to widen the net, people have come on board, and like I said, they've been incredibly supportive, and I think that part of that is, you know, it's as much as it is about who I am or even what the content is, it's that these people are feeling, those people out there are feeling like we are making something for them, that they were underserved to begin with. I mean, that's essentially the whole idea about Soccer Morning was, is there a daily show out there that not only covers, you know, the EPL or Serie A, which are fantastic and should definitely be included, but also MLS and also the national team and also NASL and whatever else we can find time and experts to cover, you know, we want to be able to deliver that to those people who, again, I think for a long time were underserved. Now, things have changed in the last couple of years, and we're getting more and more of that content out there. But at the beginning, that wasn't there. It wasn't an opportunity. I mean, it was an opportunity to give something to people that just didn't exist.
Well, you talk about audience members feeling so connected to the show and how important that is, and whether it's even feeling connected to a blog or a radio show, but that doesn't seem there's no area where that's more true than podcasting. And I want to talk with you now about how that started for you and the art of podcasting. And it's such a generational thing. And what you just said segued so perfectly into how connected someone who downloads a podcast feels to that podcast. It's really unparalleled in terms of an audience member feeling that connected to something. And it's such a generational thing. Whether it's, you know, people becoming conscious of it through Mark Maron on IFC or their favorite sports broadcast, it's a huge thing in this day and age. And talk about how you got started in the podcast world and how that helped to really garner such a loyal following.
You know, to your point, I think what we are, those of us who did podcast, and I certainly wasn't on the vanguard of podcasting. I kind of got in, you know, a couple of years after it really got going. I mean, a year, year and a half, 2 years, whatever, after Maron started. Although, you know, obviously we're talking about very different subject matters. The idea is the same. The idea, Nate, is that these people are choosing to listen to you. This isn't passive listening. This isn't I'm turning on my car radio and maybe that thing is on. Oh, and I catch an argument, and now I'm listening, or maybe I don't even listen at all. Maybe it's just background. That's why so much of terrestrial radio is music, is because it just gets tuned out sometimes. These people are actively choosing, because we have so much choice now. We have so many television channels, and all of these things are on demand. Podcasts are essentially on demand of whatever subject I want from knowledgeable voices, and I don't think that's something we can take lightly. As for me starting out, I mean, you know, my original podcast was just an outgrowth of my blog. You know, I knew that podcasting was a thing. I think I listened to a little bit at that point, some soccer stuff that I may not have been overly impressed with. I mean, I'm not going to name names. or maybe I just thought, you know, hey, why not add my voice? And I was a radiophile as a kid. I listened to radio all the time, and that format, the audio format, really appealed to me. Now, it was terrible to start, and it took hours and hours and hours of doing it to get anything approaching an actual voice and I don't mean like my actual voice. I mean the what I say and how I say it and how I present, and making that into something coherent and interesting to listen to. It took forever to do that. But you know, it really appealed to me because again, it's an on the go thing. I mean, video content is great, but you got to be sitting there in front of it to look at it. This stuff, people can put it in their cars. They can put it on their iPods and their phones, and they can take it with them wherever they go. I listen to 3-4 podcasts a day because I'm doing stuff and I have my headphones in. I think that's fantastic.
Well, Jason, talk about, you know, segueing from the art of podcasting back into big time radio and the transition of Soccer Morning onto Sirius XM and talk about the combination of those mindsets, obviously with the more freedom and looser reins that you have on a podcast. And now, you know, with the big, you know, national satellite radio company in Sirius, talk about how those two kind of mindsets and attitudes combine into what Soccer Morning has now become here in June of 2015.
Well, I think it's interesting that, you know, for me, my original podcast was completely recorded and delivered in that way that we listen to so much audio content, pre-recorded stuff. And that's great. And there's certainly lots of advantage to do that, but when I sort of started taking podcasts seriously, I decided I wanted to do it live. I felt as though soccer was underserved in sort of the sports talk radio areas. Why not give fans an opportunity to call in and interact rather than just be listening to something that may be stale? I mean, we're talking about soccer. We're talking about something that things change day to day. Sometimes and you can your content can quickly become stale. So because I was doing live shows and because I endeavored to do that with the help of some other people, I think that prepared me for radio in a way that sometimes people that just do podcasts aren't. Because you do feel you can't stop the recording, gather your thoughts, and start again. You can't take out the ums and the ahs. You need to keep it going, and you need to make sure that it's engaging, and you need to find different ways to say, you know, you need to find different ways to move the conversation, and you need to be able to do things on the fly and multitask in ways that you don't necessarily have to when you're just, you know, having a casual conversation with a buddy as part of a podcast. Again, that can be amazing, and there's plenty of podcasts that do that and do it well. But for me, it was always, I liked the vibrancy of doing it live, like the immediacy of live, and I liked talking to people who could call me up and say whatever they wanted. And the thing that I noticed most about the difference between doing a podcast version or a live podcast, whatever you want to call that, for Soccer Morning and doing it on Sirius XM is just the audience. I mean, those podcast people, they came to me, they've actively chosen to listen to me. For the most part, they're not going to come across my show sort of, oh, what's on this channel right now? That those people are choosing to listen to Soccer Morning with Jason Davis. Sirius XM presents the opportunity to widen the net and get more people involved, but they might not know me. So they're learning about me as I'm learning about them, and that's an interesting process where I'm discovering the sports talk radio caller who may not be choosing Soccer Morning but is interested in what I'm saying.
Nate Aberea again here with Jason Davis, the host of Soccer Morning and a writer for ESPN SC. We got 2 minutes before we got to head to another break here with you, Jason. And let's talk about moving forward, you know, here in the immediate and hopefully distant future of what's next for this show. We've talked all about the growth of this thing. We've gone back to the humble beginnings of it. Where from here for Soccer Morning?
You know, continue to try to do a really good show on Sirius XM every day. So that they keep me on the air and, you know, deliver the best possible podcast we can as well, because that's our base. I mean, those are the people who kept us going in the very beginning, who have been sticking around. And even if there are new people, I thought it was important to keep a free product going out there. So you don't have to pay for Sirius. We're not leaving you behind. Here's something else that we can give you. So, you know, right now it's just making sure that this thing is going. I try not to think too far into the future because it's hard enough just to keep everything continuing, and I just don't want to go anywhere.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, loyal listeners of World Soccer Talk Radio, if you take but one thing away from this episode of the show with yours truly and our good friend Jason Davis, garnering a new audience is fantastic, but always remember to show loyalty to those who have been loyal to you. A great, great lesson to take away from this edition of World Soccer Talk Radio. And be sure to check out Soccer Morning, both the podcast, and you can also find it at worldsoccertalk.com and check out the show on SiriusXM FC. Jason Davis, our guest, and we're going to head to another break here on World Soccer Talk Radio. And when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about Jason's soccer background, a very interesting soccer background, and the let's take a little trip down memory lane as far as Major League Soccer, and talk with Jason about the first MLS match that he ever attended and make a little comparison, a little compare and contrast to the most recent MLS match that he has attended. How much has the league changed? Has the league really garnered the respect that it deserves from critics and fans both in this country and abroad? Nate Abarrea and Jason Davis right here on World Soccer Talk Radio. It's the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Today on FleaSpray.com, you will learn why new Nomo Flea Flea and Tick Spray is totally safe for dogs, cats, puppies, kittens, kids, babies crawling on the carpet, and even you. New Nomo Flea Flea and Tick Spray kills fleas and ticks with no poison. So as of today, you can stop using poison powders, poison collars, or poison foggers. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad. New Nomo Flea is made from vegetable oil. Nomo Flea dissolves the hard shell of a flea or tick on contact, so the moist insides of that flea or tick just dry up. Nomo Flea instantly. No more ticks soon thereafter. Best of all, no more poison ever. Before your beloved pet ventures out in the backyard again, order a 30 or 60-day supply of new Nomo Flea. Do it today at FleaSpray.com, FleaSpray.com. FleaSpray.com.
The 2015 Cupera features plush leather seating that will feel to your hemorrhoids like sitting on lava-hot knitting needles.
Not if you step up to relief with the power of two from Preparation H. First, use Preparation H medicated wipes to soothe as they clean. Then Preparation H maximum strength cream to relieve pain and burning.
Now sink into that rich upholstery. Luxurious.
Preparation H. Don't stand for hemorrhoids. Use as directed.
And try specially formulated medicated wipes for women.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help, and your insurance may offer coverage.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-521-3214. 800-521-3214.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-521-3214. 800-521-3214.
All set. How was your visit with the dentist? Shall we book another appointment then? Wonderful. I'll sign you up for our root canal rewards. 10th one's free.
Big lunch?
You're drooling on my papers.
I love it.
How about a rewards program you'll actually use every day? Introducing Plenty. Earn points at lots of places, including AT&T, Exxon, Macy's, Mobile, Nationwide, and Rite Aid. There's plenty together. Learn more at plentywithani.com. Terms and conditions apply.
World Soccer Talk Radio is back here with you on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. My name is Nate Abarrea. Are you enjoying your summer of soccer so far? Well, the action promises to get even more intense as Copa America is about ready to kick off, featuring the best teams from South America, along with invited guests Mexico and Jamaica. To get the most out of the action, we want to invite you to a trio of Rabble casts that will be happening next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. You got to check out Rabble.tv. Great stuff. Monday the 15th, Chile against Mexico. The following night, Argentina against Uruguay, one of my favorite matchups in all of international soccer. That, of course, a rematch, we'll call it, of the 1930 World Cup final in Montevideo, won by Uruguay. Then on Wednesday, the 17th, it's a rematch of that World Cup bloodbath between Brazil and Colombia. Can you imagine three more incredible games in a row, night after night? It's going to be fantastic. Get hooked up with a real fans broadcast of each of those games. All you got to do, mute the TV for the games. Head on over to Rabble.tv to listen to a live audio show as experts share their insight and analysis. And if you got an iPhone, be sure to install the Rabble TV app today and add a comment to the broadcast message board. Then listen live via the app next Monday through Wednesday. Chile, Mexico, Argentina, Uruguay, and Brazil, Colombia. Mark your calendars Monday, June 15th through Wednesday, June 17th. Celebrate the best of world soccer live on Rabble.tv. Again, my name is Nate Abarea. Jason Davis, the host of Soccer Morning and writer for ESPN FC, is our guest in this edition of the program. We talked all about the background of Soccer Morning and the future of Soccer Morning in the first couple of segments in this show. I want to get now a little info on your soccer background, Jason. You have a very interesting soccer background and a story that involves, in many ways, falling in love with the sport and then some ways falling out of love with the sport and then rekindling the love. talk about the soccer background for you, Jason.
Well, Nate, you say it's interesting. I feel like it's fairly typical for a lot of Americans, especially my age. I mean, I'm 35 years old. I think a younger generation may not have gone through what I went through, and but I did. You know, I played soccer as a kid, as so many of us do, and I loved it. I loved playing. I had a team I was on. We went to tournaments. We kicked the ball around. We had a great time. And then, you know, as I was, I happened to be a military brat, so as I got a little bit older, it was time for us to move on, and we shifted locations, and I ended up in a place that didn't quite have the level of soccer I was accustomed to. It wasn't taken as seriously. The team didn't seem to be as interested. The kids were much more out there just to run around and act stupid than to play soccer, and I sort of let that dissuade me from playing anymore. And I think I played that season, or maybe I even quit that team, and I didn't go back. And I don't know if I would have been any good as a high school player or anything like that, but I sort of let that experience sour me on playing soccer. And because at the time, and we're talking mid-90s here, there really wasn't a lot of soccer available unless you really went looking for it on your television. I didn't have an opportunity to sort of fall in love, with the professional game as a fan the way I did with baseball or football. The only thing I really remember is, you know, playing FIFA. And I think at the time, I think Juventus was always my team back then. But that was it. And that was a sort of a tenuous connection. I went through, you know, a good 10 years or so where I didn't really think about soccer too much. It was there as something I was aware of. I didn't really, you know, I wasn't against it. I wasn't anti-soccer, but it wasn't part of my sports experience, and I'm a super sports-obsessed guy. And then, I don't know, mid-20s, you know, flipping through the channels, happened to have Fox Soccer Channel on my cable system, and I think, you know, the Premier League was on at the time, and it was the atmosphere that caught me. You know, it was the game, but it was also how passionate the fans were and how amazing that just, I don't even remember what game it was. It could have been White Hart Lane. It could have been Selhurst. I mean, it was definitely one of those places that you notice the fans, that they're loud, they're rowdy. And I became fascinated with that part. I became fascinated with the culture of soccer and football in England. And then it spiraled from there. I mean, I became obsessed. I started taking an interest in American stuff and really getting into MLS. I mean, I had always been aware of MLS, but not really paying attention to it. And, around, I think it's around 2000, around the David Beckham years that I really started day in and day out, week in and week out, giving MLS my attention. And that, yep, here we are.
Well, you say right around the Beckham time, so you're talking, you know, 2007 or so, and talk about from then. I always go back. I mean, when we have Janusz Michalak on the show, Eric Winalda on the show, we go way back. We go back to 1996, and we talk about the inaugural game at Spartan Stadium between the clash of San Jose and DC United, and so we go way down memory lane. With you right now, Jason, I'm curious to go 8 years back down memory lane and Beckham mania.
That I'm pretty sure that I went to an MLS game or I watched MLS games in the early days, in the DC United glory days, because I was living in the DC area post 1996-97, graduated from high school in Northern Virginia. So that was within the sphere of my experience. I just don't remember thinking too much about it. I don't remember making a note that this is cool or I'm really wanting to be interested in this. And those are great teams. And I actually kicked myself because I missed out on really caring about the Diaz Arce years and everything else. And fast forward to the mid 2000s when I really took it on. And I remember, you know, my first real memories of MLS and caring about it as a passionate fan are those Beckham years, and not necessarily because of Beckham I wasn't a fan, but I mean he did bring such a spotlight to the league. And you remember that game at Old Giants Stadium when they had 60,000, and Beckham and Juan Pablo Angel put on an absolute show. I remember the score 5-4 or something insane like that. I remember RFK filling up for him. RFK doesn't fill up very much anymore. And they filled up for Beckham, and yeah, it was a circus sideshow, but it was still still evidence of soccer's bloom in America. And that was the other thing that caught me. It was, you know, being an American, loving my country, being a military brat, and wanting to see, you know, America take a prominent place in world soccer. It was that I cared about where we were going, how we were going to get there.
Well, I'm really glad that you brought that up. And by the way, anytime anyone wants to talk about the late 90s DC United teams, be my guest on the show. Hit us up on Twitter. We can never have enough Echeverry, Agus, Eddie Pope, and the rest of those phenomenal screaming Eagles from the mid and late 90s. Now, so then we go into the 07 Beckham mania era, and now we transition to now. And so we've addressed the beginning of MLS. We've talked about this big transition point that was 2007. And for you, Jason, this is where I really want to get your opinion and your personal take on this of how the league has grown in your eyes kind of through all of that. If we look at those from 1996, 2007, 2015, of the biggest differences from then to now and what it's like being a fan of the league now. And do you think that the respect level, the consciousness level of this league, specifically within this country, within the American soccer landscape, is the respect for the league and the consciousness of the league where it could be? And are you happy with that?
I mean, I think it's difficult to look at it and say, wow, we could do so much better. I mean, you know, in 96, nobody knew. In 2001, they were scared that they were going to fold, and they had to kill off two teams. The 2002 World Cup helped, but that happened in the wee hours of the morning in South Korea and Japan. I did watch those games, by the way. That was maybe my first real taste of big-time soccer. It took 5 years for me to get into MLS, but by 2007... You know, that the Beckham thing was bringing attention. I don't think MLS, I mean, it certainly needed to happen. MLS at that point wasn't getting a lot of respect, obviously. And I think where we are now is, I don't know if it's appropriate. If that's the word, it's an appropriate level of interest. I don't know if we could argue that the league could be bigger and better if they would only spend more, but I think that's hard to say because we, you know, that comes with you spend more money, potentially you lose more money, the league's health is not as strong. I think it's very difficult for us to sort of look a gift horse in the mouth when it comes to where MLS is today. And if you consider that it's 20 years later and that we have soccer stadiums dotting the country and we have successful clubs drawing 40,000, 25,000, 20,000 people every time they play, that we have players in this country now, players coming from abroad, who are of immense ability, and I don't just mean the DPs. I mean that there's players coming to this country, young players now, who are getting better because they've been here. I think all of that stuff is great, and I think that you know, I just want the lead to continue. I know that's a low bar, but considering the original belief that this wasn't going to last and how many columns were written by terrible sports writers about soccer's never going to make it in this country, I'm glad we can stand here sort of on this little hill that we built. And yeah, we want it to be a mountain, but for now, this is kind of cool. And look down on them and say, ha ha, you know?
Absolutely.
This is really cool. And yeah, there's a lot to go. And I think that the respect issue is a complicated one because it's not just about the quality of the play on the field, because this is a subjective sport. And, you know, I can watch a Premier League game, enjoy that. I can watch an MLS game, enjoy that. Recognize that there are differences. I don't think it necessarily matters if the quality is the same. But I know that there are a lot of people who do care about that. When it comes to the casual sports fan, I think MLS has a long way to go, if only because it's difficult to kind of take your place alongside the pantheon of sports that have been around for 150 years, and the NFL, which is a behemoth, and, you know, that sell is hard. So I think there's lots of room, but it's also positive. We're taking those steps pretty consistently now.
Well, one of the last things I want to ask you here relating to Major League Soccer is about TV ratings. And we had a great talk about this with Taylor Twellman back a month or so ago on this show. And it's so important to point out what Major League Soccer has done on an in-stadium level. And you pointed that out there a few moments ago of these soccer-specific stadiums, these match day atmospheres that are incredible in many of these cities that are truly becoming soccer hotbeds within this country. But the big remaining question mark is TV ratings. And I love on Soccer Morning, you guys are it's such a solutions-oriented show a lot of the time, and talk about a solution moving forward, what you think Major League Soccer can really do to improve the television side of things, Jason?
Well, I think the in-game atmosphere matters to television. I've been preaching for a very long time, since I started caring at all, that you're not going to get people to watch on television if they flip by a game and you can hear the players yelling at each other. That's just not going to fly. The reason I was attracted to the Premier League is because of the atmosphere. I think a lot of fans, a lot of soccer fans, and a lot of sports fans in general gravitate towards those big events. It feels big. You watch a college football game, even if you don't care about either team, because there's 100,000 people in the stadium, and they're making a lot of noise, and it feels important. That comes through the television. So that's step one, and we're getting there. And obviously, Seattle helps, and Portland helps, and you know, even when the StubHub Center is filled up, that's great. Orlando's doing a great job. There's lots of those examples of those things. Getting those time slots. Those dedicated time slots that are consistent week to week, I think that helps, because now people know when is MLS going to be on? Oh, it's on at the same time every week. Let's keep that going. Let's make sure that we are focusing on giving people times that they can lock in. Beyond that, I mean, I really do think it's a function of time. As soccer becomes more important culturally to people, and this country starts to become a nation of soccer parents who grew up as soccer fans, telling, you know, teaching soccer and giving soccer down to their kids, that's when it becomes ingrained in the you know, in the habits of Americans. You know, you watch baseball because your dad taught you how to play baseball, and you know, et cetera, et cetera. I think we are a little too greedy sometimes with this stuff. Now the ratings matter because it feeds everything else. And
Jason, I really like the point that you make that the in-game atmosphere, that in-stadium stuff, will yield a television audience. You fell in love with the Premier League, they go hand in hand. I don't think enough people realize that. Keep pushing this in-stadium atmosphere. It will help the TV rating for Major League Soccer. Jason Davis, thank you so much for joining us on the program. Really appreciate your time, sir.
Sure. Talk too much, but I'm good. Thanks for having me.
All right. That was Jason Davis, the host of Soccer Morning. We're back to close this thing out. World Soccer Talk Radio. Stay tuned.
outrageous prices for prescription drugs? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get prescription drugs at huge discounts from Canada Drug Center. That's right, the most popular drugs for cholesterol, high blood pressure, depression, diabetes, arthritis, and many more are now up to 75% off. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices when you can get brand name drugs at the lowest price? Call today and get up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs. Never pay high prices again. Get the most popular drugs at huge savings from our Canadian and international pharmacies and fulfillment centers. No insurance? No problem. Prices are so low you do not need benefits or insurance to get all your prescriptions fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Order today and get free shipping. Just call 800-950-1180. Up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs and free shipping. Call 800-950-1180. That's 800-950-1180.
Health insurance is on everybody's mind right now. You either don't have it, or you have it and you think it's too expensive. And you probably feel like you don't have any options. We can help. We are the Health Markets Insurance Agency. We offer health insurance plans from major carriers nationwide and likely have a plan that can save you money. Whether you're self-employed, on a COBRA plan that's about to expire, or you simply don't have health insurance where you work and you need it, the Health Markets Insurance Agency can help you. Our agents will help you find coverage you can afford. Health Markets Insurance Agency is an authorized agency in all 50 states, including the District of Columbia. Plans may not be available in all states. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242.
Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Clapper, Chief of Orthopedic Surgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Group in Los Angeles, California. Dedicated to your health, your life, and your sports. As a weekend warrior, you know about sports injuries and pain. Exercise is an important element in keeping your body's core in good shape to minimize sports injuries. But when you are in pain, there is one product that I recommend to my patients, and that is Blue Goo Gel. Blue Goo consists of a proprietary formula developed specifically for the treatment of inflammation and general muscle aches and strains. I recommend Blue Goo for my patients coping with hip and knee pain before surgery, especially bursitis and tendonitis. Give Blue Goo a try. Call 1-888-330-0123 and you'll receive a 1 week supply of Blue Goo absolutely free. The makers of Blue Goo are even paying the shipping. The number again is 1-888-330-0123. If you want more information on Blue Goo, visit online at www.dothegoo.com.
Now available at select Big Five stores near you.
World Soccer Talk Radio back here with you on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, iTunes, TuneIn, and Stitcher. And check us out at worldsoccertalk.com. Huge thank you again to the host of Soccer Morning and a writer for ESPN FC, Jason Davis, for joining us in this edition of the show. Getting a whole lot of interesting background information on how Soccer Morning came to be and the soccer background for Jason Davis. And I love that final talk that we had about Major League Soccer. Everyone always plays this balancing game of what's more important for MLS and soccer in this country, the in-stadium mindset, the match day atmosphere, or pushing television ratings and making the game more popular on ESPN, NBC, and Fox, and whatever other network wants to show MLS games. They go hand in hand. That was a phenomenal point from Jason Davis, and I just want to push that a little bit further before we close this thing out. When you tune into a game in Seattle or Portland or Orlando or name all sorts of other fantastic atmospheres around the league, that in and of itself makes you stick around for a few minutes as a casual sports fan. So let's keep pushing both of those things. They help each other out, the stadium atmosphere and the TV ratings. My name is Nate Abarea for the producer Dom Jimenez and the gaffer Christopher Harris. I say cheers. Bye for now. World Soccer Talk Radio signing off.